Back to the kitchen, woman.
My friends aren't normies.
What if it was a sexy ambush?
I think that terrorism is one of the most interesting things.
If you're gonna have hellhounds, you're gonna have sexual assault.
The most powerful resource is spirit energy.
I want to be gay in the game and have a gay romance.
That's a hard red on lizard dick.
You could also just say, like, human women, because we want monster girls. Hey there, everybody! Welcome to Little Wars. I'm your host, Magus Kikimura. With me on my right, is John, and with me on my other right is Jack. Yo, buddies, still alive.
I try to be.
I like that I've moved up to your first right out of the two rights. I'm slowly, slowly taking power in this podcast.
Just coincidentally, in the software we're using, you just your name happens to be above mine. That's just happened to be where it looked.
That's alphabetical order, Mongoose.
Yeah, well, you can thank the alphabet. Not
yes,
anything else. There is other significance here.
Ouch. Damn.
Speaking of thanking, that's thanks to my boss for the new song we're taking for a test drive. He came over and pounded on my front door, handed me an old scratched up CD in a Ziploc bag, and said, "Here, you gotta play this on your little internet show thing. Credit me as Willie Make It." And apparently, okay, so I looked it up. Willie Make It is an old book, or old joke from a 1950s joke book. Well, I asked my boss where he got that stage name. He said, "Oh, a friend of mine came up with it back in the 80s, and he said it out loud, and I thought it was so good, and I asked him, do I have permission to use that as my band name? And the guy told him yes, without admitting that it was a joke from an old joke book. So my boss thinks that he has this original name, Willie Make It. The original joke was like, it's a new book coming out from author Willie Make It with illustrations by Betty Don't.
This is esoteric boomer posting.
Yes. So that's where the song came
from. To
get
even more esoteric, the song's metadata on the CD indicated that it was, what was it, a Korean
it was the,
pop single?
It was the Go-Go Boys, which is like some Korean pop star group. It's got a picture from some Korean pop star group called the Go-Go Boys, and it was I Want You was the name of the song, remixed. I Want You remixed. And I told him this, and he accused me of corporate espionage, effectively.
Are you sure he wasn't just fucking with you?
No, he was dead serious. He was like accusing me of trying to sabotage his like one final break that was gonna make him famous by coming on our internet show and doing the intro.
So it's pretty obvious what happened here. A Korean boy band stole his music and actually became popular in Korea.
The Go-Go Boys. Which, by the way, I looked it up, and Go-Go Boys is a term for male strippers.
This is truly esoteric boomer.
This is so esoteric, yeah. I'm just imagining this is like a Shadowrun plot point of like some old crazy man hands you a CD disc in a Ziploc bag and is like, "This contains the answers to everything. Quick, get it out of here."
I might use this.
What would I do with that though? In game.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Where does that lead me? And what if I get a CD and it's got a metadata for the Go-Go Boys, he answered everything. I'm like, what?
You gotta go to Korea and interview them, obviously, and then find out how they were involved in some like crazy heist that involved your boss back in the 90s or 80s or whatever. I have no idea, but it was the weirdest thing. So that's where the song came from. I also wanted to thank the people who responded with their consent in gaming forms. We got somebody who filled out one, and everything was red except for Yoda. Yeah, okay. So,
approving of the Jedi way, this is.
We have such a good audience.
Best audience Little Wars has.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I knew this
superior
was
to all other audiences. The Indian scam commenters are.
Yeah, okay. And then last bit of business, I just want to say for the record that I was right.
About what?
I was right. I said that the all this consent in gaming stuff was BDSM related, and I was told, no, it's just HR policy. It's just HR. You and Mongoose were telling me that it was HR speak. All of this this consent in gaming that we read last week, it's just HR policy. John, you're being paranoid. It's not like it's weird sex fetish stuff.
I don't think anybody said that, and if anyone wants to go back in time and listen to that. Yeah, that sounds like a HR policy speak. For one, this very much reads like an HR policy.
No, this is an HR policy for a sex dungeon.
This is a corporate HR policy. HR was always going to end up this way.
This is an RPG HR policy, absolutely.
On our blog, littlewars.home.blog.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, where they're probably listening to this right now. Probably.
That's about a half of our audience. We do post articles there occasionally. I posted a big, long effort post about how D20 is cringe and lame.
Mm-hmm. That was pretty good, actually. I'm still making my way downtown. Faces pass, and I'm homebound. But no, it's a pretty good article. I'll finish that here in a little bit. I saw that you rustled some jimmies with it, though.
I don't think I did.
Oh, okay. Well,
I mean, I super Lutheran was like, yeah, okay, whatever, man. Now that seemed to be the. I mean, I'm gonna go
got
check
him.
The contents. I'm going to go check the comments on my blog post, riveting content right here.
No, we're not doing that. But what I want to talk about is one of the two people who wrote that consent in gaming PDF that we were tearing apart in the end of the last session, a co-owner of Monte Cook Games. Her name is Shauna Germain.
I wonder what Shauna's hobbies are other than ruining my hobby.
Germain.
Well,
interesting.
As it turns out, she likes to write interesting little books.
Oh, I like writing too. We have so much in common.
Well, yeah, you probably do with her. But So let me read the titles.
I don't
of
like
some
where
of the
this is
she's
going,
written.
John.
Well, you took it there.
I like it. Keep going.
Yeah. I'm just saying that one of her book's titles is Tie Me Up, Bondage and Beyond. So I'm thinking she could probably get on board with the whole Lamia thing.
Mongoose does like being bound by Lamias.
Right?
Continue.
As kinky as one of her other books is As Kinky As You Wanna Be, Your Guide to Safe, Sane, and Smart BDSM.
Safe, sane, and smart. I don't know.
The picture on this one is a slender woman. I'm not related to Slender Man. Who is has her hands behind her back, handcuffed together, and I'm guessing Shauna Germain probably does not look like this. Just a hunch. I don't know why I say that, but
yeah, I've been trying to look her up, and I don't see anything online.
Well, I mean, I do like Lamias, but the unfortunate matter is most of the human women that read and write this stuff weigh about the same as one. Tail included.
Oh, I found her.
Yeah. She's kind of cute. I don't know.
Post. No, she's past. Yeah, I'm posting now. She's past her. She's past her. The point where that could be ascribed to her, I think.
This
I would
is
need
like
more information.
Live, laugh, love, wine ant kind of.
Yeah, she's got the wine ant vibe.
Yes, yes, Queen Slay kind of vibe right here, like obnoxious.
Right.
Oh. Oh, she looks like some obnoxious harpy.
Yeah, she does look like an obnoxious one.
She looks like some
Did
weird...
Did you just call her a harpy?
Nordcuck.
Yeah.
Harpy and, like, annoying woman or shrew, you know.
I don't feel comfortable with you bringing down the good names of winged monster girls with this lady's visage.
Well, if they didn't want to get, like, dunked on by me, maybe they should have considered having more lascivious features, shall we say.
What, harpy? There are curvy harpies. This is beside the
only
point.
Only thunderbirds. Those are fine, but...
Thunderbirds have thunder thighs, okay?
Yes, thunder thighs and thunder other things.
So the third book that she wrote was Leather Bound, Even the Sexiest Stories Can Come True. Yeah, so this lady is heavily involved in the BDSM scene, and that explains all of this consent stuff. It's
For a second there, I was hoping you were going to say BDS, but whatever BDSM is, it's pretty cringe.
It's BDS plus masochism, which explains why they always lose.
Boycott, divest, sanctions, masochism.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that like where you're a Palestinian, you're being genocided, and you enjoy it?
Well, yeah,
no,
you have
it's,
to.
It's, hmm. it's when you're an Israeli and you're a part of the BDS movement.
Oh! Nice one.
Yeah, nice. Punish me with those policies harder. Sanction me harder, Daddy.
Sanction me harder, Daddy.
Oh, God.
Oh.
I send
bit.
You bottle rockets.
Will.
No,
fan
your
favorite
Yoda,
Yoda
so
we
much,
must use.
No, so much worse Yoda bit. I like the idea. It's like they're sending over bottle rockets because they're like, it's not like I like you or anything or want you to punish me. Palestinians are tsundere's towards Israelis.
I don't think
obviously
any
they're not.
There.
It's a joke.
No.
It's obviously a joke, Monk. Oh, for Pete's sake. All right. Anyway, so yeah, I was right. This is all crazy, weird sex shit. All this consent in gaming. It's gay. It's an attempt to make this sexual. This hobby, like the hobby dynamic itself, sexual. And these Reddit idiots and losers are just eating it up because.
I would say fetishistic. Is I'm pretty sure normal sex doesn't work the way these deranged weirdos.
Ooh, I found her Twitter. Should I read her bio?
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, hit us with it.
Schrodinger's brat.
Oh.
Vorpal blonde. Bisexual brain licker.
Okay,
I'm
this
sorry.
Is just cringe. This is just...
Princess of a Thousand Enemies. Co-owner of Monty Cook Games. Ooh. Writer and game designer, she, her, Red Queen. She/her/Red Queen. Is that making fun of the pronouns thing?
No.
That's probably some like Game of Thrones thing or something.
Yeah, this is very funny to me because she's like, I have so many enemies, I'm so edgy and controversial. If she listened to this, she would interpret us as her enemies, but she is a pathetic woman who is going to die alone.
Well,
her rotted...
No, she's not going to die alone. She's going to get choked out in a BDSM accident.
Nah, she's going to die alone among a bunch of cats, her rotted, fetid ovaries being consumed by the creatures which she has filled her apartment with as the stench of box wine... fills the air and mingles with the fetid, disgusting, alcoholic corpse she leaves behind. Truly, she is below contempt, but not really an enemy.
Good Lord.
Fascinating.
You can go to her personal website and see she's got tabs on here. It's like games and gaming right next to erotica. Right
See,
next to sci-fi and fantasy. This is...
Yeah, I know. The first thing I think of when I sit down with the boys to play Subiruyutama is, wow, I can't wait to... Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I think of. You know,
you don't even want to give me a quote, do you?
No, I'm not even going to say that. Like, it's just nasty to think about. Like, you know, you're like, oh, dude, we're going to do wholesome travel fun times, and then, like, that's what you think of? Get this Winant bullshit out of here.
See, the one thing that I'm looking for, though, is her early life on Wikipedia, and I can't find any Wikipedia on her, so...
This is very clearly a Nordkuck pervert woman. I would like to say, though, that...
Her name is Germaine. She's gotta be German or something.
She's probably some weird Scando-derived disgusting freak.
Yeah.
And you really don't like...
You really don't like Bound by Lust, Geek Love, or Beneath Sea and Sky. Oh God, is she into whale fucking?
Maybe she's a libertarian.
Yeah,
a
maybe she is a libertarian, or she's the sort of person libertarians need to. We're just cementing ourselves as a red pilled ANCAP podcast, I suppose. Right here,
we are
talking about our fellow libertarians.
Yeah. I highly recommend by Shauna Germaine, Beneath Sea and Sky. Sorry, this is blowing my mind here. Here's one of the reviews. Her ideas and settings are so sharp and clear, and as usual, she doesn't stray from the difficult. The blood and gristle, she embraces it and makes it sing. This is an erotic story. This is some, like...
Is this like a Fujoshi, but with Guro? What is this?
It's what it sounds like, yeah. I mean, this is like the whole Slaneshi thing of, like, no higher pleasure. Like, you know, you've run out of normal pleasures. You have to, like, rend your flesh and get off to that.
Eventually, this is just going to sound like a list of tags on images that would get them hidden on Gelburu. Like, whatever this one
as they should
do.
Be.
Like, girl,
is this
scat,
like the new, is this like the
four.
New, is this the new, like, code word for Fed posting?
What?
I hope you get hidden. I hope you get your images get hidden on Gelburu.
I don't know.
Probably too clunky to use.
Yeah. I mean,
one of her readers did say something about her book. It says, not only does she show the healing power of pets, but also sex.
Ah! You're right, girl.
This is an animal companion I don't want!
And I know it's hard, but you really need to stop fucking dogs.
You really fuck do. Dogs.
You know what? Okay. You know what? In post, I need you to edit in that the chorus from that Rusty Cage song, The White Girls Fuck Dogs. If you can find it.
I don't... Can we also just say that, like, Schrodinger's brat has to be, like, one of those science... Like, I worship science. I fucking love science. Like, I'm so quirky, I've heard of quantum mechanics in passing.
Well, I'm so quirky, I've heard of half a dozen operas. Wow, cool. Look at me. It's annoying when I do it about opera. It's annoying when you do it about banal fucking science shit.
Yeah.
But beyond that, this is really just proof that when you go to the counter with box wine, you need to, like, have your blood taken to prove that you have a Y chromosome, okay? We're not selling box wine to people without Y chromosomes anymore. This problem has gotten out of control.
So did you see the picture that I posted? That's from her Twitter.
6 years ago, we were having slut walks. Now we're having Nazi walks. Well, we're not having Nazi walks anymore, and you're probably still doing that. Didn't they do the women's march or whatever? Isn't that basically the same thing? I mean,
well, now they're having, like, tranny walks. So what is she complaining about?
I mean, are those women? Is she a TERF? I think Germaine here is a TERF.
We're literally having trans 8-year-old walks.
Right. I think that her, yeah. I think her body of work is largely heteronormative, and it precludes, doesn't preclude TERF sensibilities effectively, and she really ought to consider incorporating trans into everything, because she really hasn't proven herself to be significantly not turfish.
I mean, that is the whole point of all this consent stuff. I'm sure they've got a section in there about, like, I don't even know. How far down the neoliberal asshole are we? Like, can you have on your consent form that you consent to interacting with intersex people? Or is it just assumed that you automatically have to and your consent be damned?
Well, I guess we're just going to have to mark this episode as not safe for work, because I'm actually going to go into this because I feel that it's relevant.
Okay, well, go ahead. Go off, Quain.
Yeah, yes. Oh, God. Okay, now that I've gotten rid of my pre-show nuggies,
I'm not gonna leave in the part where you almost vomit, Mongoose.
I wasn't almost vomiting. I was pretending to almost vomit. That was a joke. I was joking. I thought it was.
I apologize for our autism audience. Please continue.
Anyway, how far are we down this neoliberal wild ride? Well, I don't know if you, like, recall this being posted, but do you remember we were talking about that, like, those people on Reddit were talking about being guilted into having sex with trans women who had, like, penises?
Are you talking about the actual lesbians thing?
Yeah, the actual lesbians.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a thing. Like, I don't think you get to consent to, like, if you say you're into women, you have to be... Like, they basically set up a system where you can either say you're into a certain type of genitalia, and then that means you're, in theory, pansexual, because anyone of any gender can have any genitalia, or you can say you're into a gender, but that means that, in theory, someone can claim to be that gender and pop a few pills and put on a wig or whatever, and then they can, you know...
Is there a box for, like, I'm into clowns? Because that's what these people are. Actually, I'm checking now. There's no clowns. Okay, good. No clowns. Oh, wait, there is body paint, though. They've got body paint in here.
Side note, the Joker movie was really mediocre. It almost killed my buddy.
It didn't kill your buddy. Don't go spreading lies. Anyway.
Was pretty cringe, though.
They've got caning on here as one of the bondage things. Like,
that,
being hit with a cane.
See, and this is how Singapore would never be able to get rid of these people, because beating you with a cane in public, it just makes them stronger.
Oh, God. I don't know about stronger, but definitely more into it in a problematic way.
See, this is why I think teeth pulling is really the ultimate form of torture. Because no one wants or enjoys having their teeth pulled out with a pair of pliers, right? So,
well, I don't know. There are people who are apparently into CBT, so that's, I don't even know if that's true now.
I'd have to imagine that having your teeth pulled out would be about the most painful thing most people could go through, like with just a pair of rusty pliers.
I think pulling the fingernails too, you really underestimate how sensitive it is under there.
I mean, I think fingernails are pretty painful, but I think teeth would have to be far. This could be our Halloween special.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just talk about torture for a bit, call it a Halloween special. No, I think fingernails would come way further below teeth, because a tooth is, like, it's really up in there, and it's, like, attached with bone and stuff, and it, like... I don't know, like, I had dental work done to me, and that was really, really painful. Like, not, even with anesthetic and all that, it was sore for a long time. So I can't imagine what having your teeth pulled out with, like, pliers and stuff would be like.
Yeah, I don't know either. I did have my fingernail ripped off one time, and that was absolute misery.
yeah.
Well, the tip of my finger was degloved entirely, and it took the fingernail with it as well. So that was massively painful and agonizing, but
for
yeah,
you,
yeah.
Well, good. Yeah. It only got the glove, right?
And the fingernail.
No, deglove means it takes the outer layer of flesh completely off.
I was making a spooky joke, gamers. Spooky.
Yeah, I know. I'm spooked. Yeah, for sure. Oh God.
Wait. Wait, it is vampire season. We can pull out a new bit.
What's that?
Okay. Oh, no. We're going from one cringy impression to another. No.
I'll keep that one in the can. Maybe it'll come up better later.
I thought you were gonna talk about like Yandere vampire GFs, and you go back to a.
So who do you think has the supply of Yandere vampire GFs, John?
Oh,
he wants to be the vampire pimp.
I mean, if you are the most powerful vampire in all of Romania, north, east, and south, and west Wallachia, you would by necessity have control of the supply of the Yandere vampire GFs, which is a great bit.
Speaking of Romania, though, this BDSM checklist does not include cannibalism, but it does have being bitten on here.
Well, I guess cannibalism does include biting down. So.
Right, one leads to the other, naturally, obviously, yeah.
Obviously, they thought of that, John.
They had to break the cannibalism down into stages.
Right. Because maybe I want to be bitten, but I don't want to be swallowed.
Okay, that's going in the... That's getting clipped.
But did they remember the blood sucking?
Actually, they don't list blood play.
They do not list the blood sucking. This is horrible.
It's very discriminatory. It's discrimination against vampires.
Sazarak, the most powerful vampire in all of Romania.
So I will say something about Shauna Germain's Twitter, though. I can connect with her on one level, though. The fact that she is really bad at Twitter.
Well, yeah.
None of this has very good interaction.
Yeah, she's got... what does that mean? One of the entries on the BDSM checklist is food to play, and in parentheses... cucumbers, sorbet, ..
Sorbet?
What is that? Sorbet?
Cucumbers, I'm like, okay, so they just probably shoved the cucumber up your asshole, and that's fine, whatever. Sorbet? What?
I'm worried about what they're mixing into the sorbet.
Is it like, sorbet is just freaking ice cream. It's like special bougie ice cream.
Well, now it's cum cream.
No, it's cum.
And this is why your palate cleanser for a meal should always be beer, never sorbet. Or
don't
bread.
Eat sorbet. Don't eat leftist sorbet. You don't know what's in there.
Yeah, don't eat leftist anything. You don't know what's in there.
Yeah. You don't know where that zucchini has been.
Honestly though, their granola, their fresh made granola ball things that they have at their cafes are pretty good.
You can make... My mom makes granola. You can make granola without being a faggot.
Well, I know that, but I mean, like...
I don't know. Like, I don't know if you can eat granola without being a faggot.
I eat granola! What are you talking about? What are you talking about? I eat... It's good! It's gamer fuel!
That is gamer fuel. Granola is a really weird way of saying Doritos, John.
Okay, no, Doritos is a corporate... granola is gamer fuel for anti-Semites who don't like corporations.
Granola is a corporate thing of the Kellogg's Corporation, which is currently owned by a certain group of people.
Yes, exactly.
A bunch of funny men
with
precious metals in their last names.
Oh, spooky. This is our spooky episode, guys.
Spooky, the spookiest monsters of all.
Okay, so now we've done our I just realized that's pretty good. All right, we've done our business now, so we should do gaming.
We can talk about other spooky monsters like ghosts and scary ghost costumes.
Oh, yeah.
With pointy tops!
Yeah.
Ooh!
So is Mongoose going to dress up like that on Halloween and just go around trying to spook the black kids?
Funny story about that. I straight up dress as Martin Luther for Halloween. And I like to hand out candy, or I did when I was in high school. And I don't do that so much anymore because, let's just say it's less than safe to, do things on Halloween anymore. Anyway, so I dress up as Martin Luther, and so I'm wearing my like weird monk getup. Well, it's not weird, but it's a monk getup. I'm handing candy to the kids, having a decent old time. This black people come up and they're like, "What are you supposed to be?" And I say, "I'm Martin Luther." And they all look at me like I'm freaking insane. Look at me like I'm from the
Hey,
moon.
hold
Pretty
up.
good.
Is you be saying MLK was some old European monk and
Are
shit?
you saying that my MLK was a white guy wearing a robe? What is she, nigga? What?
Where your black face at?
Actually, traditional games related, I learned about a great game today. It's called Schwarzepiet. It's Dutch.
Yeah, I'd heard about that before. They've referenced
The
it.
game in which you sweat pizza?
No.
No, it's Black Pete.
Means Black Pete in Dutch. The goal of the
I've
game is
heard
to
about this, yeah.
not be the first person to get to -2 points, and you lose a point every time you play a game. Everybody starts with 0 points. What you do is you take a deck of playing cards, and you remove every single 1 through 6 card, so that only the card 7 and higher remain. And then you remove the jack of clovers or the jack of clubs, the Dutch call it clovers, and then you play the game by you have all of your cards in front of you, and every pair, so every pair of cards that's the same color and value, you have to leave out in front of you, and then the rest of them you leave out in front of you so everyone can see. Except when if you don't have a pair to lay out, because you lay out a pair, you have to to the person to your left, you have to pull a card from their hand, and then to try to get a pair. The person with the last card, the ace or the jack of spades, sorry, the jack of spades, they lose.
Lose a
They lose
point,
a
yeah.
point. So you pl it would take you in its shortest 2 rounds. And you can only make one pair at a time. I don't think anyone can ever see your hand.
Right.
What then happens is you is once someone gets to 2 points, you take a cork or a piece of cold charcoal, and you take the soot off of it, and you paint their face black.
Right.
So you give them blackface.
Yes, this is a game in the Netherlands, or it was.
If you fall, basically in the game of civilization, if you fall too far behind, you become black.
That's amazing.
I think that's the metaphor, right? That's the
I'm not even sure like what the lesson of this game is.
what did they mean by
I mean, because a game is
this?
fundamentally about stealing from your neighbor, but the person
That's
who's the worst at stealing is
hmm.
black. Maybe it's an anti-racist
Well,
game.
no, it's not stealing though. It's not stealing because you're doing like voluntary economic transactions.
You have to take a card from your neighbor. You don't get to swap. There's no transaction
Well,
there.
right, but that's how the economy works. Is like, it's like a flow, like a cycle that goes around the table.
To be fair, though, painting your skin black with a piece of charcoal is actually probably harkens back to like chimney sweep days and
And
coal
fiddlers on roofs.
fiddlers on roofs and magical nannies that flew around on umbrellas and shit.
Right. Chim chimney, chim chimney, chim chim cherry. You guys remember
Yes, I actually do remember that. That
that?
was
A chim
one of my
chimney, chim
favorite.
chimney, chim 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 cherry. This chimney isn't attached to this building, tee hee hee hee
Yeah,
It's
exactly.
got wood
Chim chimney, chim
doors.
chimney, chim chim cheroo. Look at this door, it's wooden like you.
Oh, this is such a spooky topic.
Ooh.
Is
They
this a
can
new
make
bit
6 million
where
bodies disappear.
Ooh, spooky ovens using hell-powered technology.
is this a new bit where we deny
Ooh.
the Holocaust and just like cover it
What?
over with holiday
Yeah, it's a hol Yeah, I think you mean the Halloween.
the Halloween, of course.
Never forget the 6 million candies, all right? All right, what, Mongoose, what did you do in traditional gaming this past week of weeks?
Well, I drunk played some Ryutama with some friends, and that was a grand old time. For those of you who have never played a traditional game drunk before, it is something you need to do at least once, and then probably not make a habit of, because when you're getting drunk repeatedly, that's called alcoholism.
Yeah, don't follow Mongoose's example, kids.
I am not an alcoholic.
Yeah, no, but
I happen to have 20 liters of beer in my fridge right now.
Yeah, and I happen to recall you saying, John, I can't do role-playing games sober.
That is true. I do actually need to drink at least one thing before like things really start going well. Normally because I get grated on.
That's what you say. Yes.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you can really notice the difference though. I mean, you can.
One thing that I wanted to ask you about was or talk about here on the show was you did riddles for your players.
Yes.
Ooh,
yes, I did. That you wrote for me. I believe I have them with me. If I can. Oh, no, here. Let me just flip through this book.
He says to me, John, I need help with session prep. I what are we going to do in this desert region? And I said, well, how about a Sphinx girl?
That sounds about okay. Yeah.
And so then we were like, she has to ask the players riddles, has to come up with riddles for the players. And if they succeed, then they get some kind of treasure or something, some magical trinket or whatever. And so I came up with some riddles for him, and he asked his players, and apparently they solved all three of them, which I was impressed with my riddle making abilities. So what we could do is try to ask Jack these riddles on air.
Oh.
Make you think. Yeah.
This sounds like fun.
Yeah.
All right. So the first riddle is, what does sleep bring that goes away when you wake, adding exhaustion and fatigue to your aches?
Adding exhaustion and fatigue to a Charlie horse?
No.
No.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
What does sleep bring but leaves you exhausted? Oh no. Oh, seriously?
That moment of realization. What is it, Jack?
I forgot what it is. I forgot what when you
No, it's not that. It's not a wet dream.
Okay. Oh, it's not what dreams.
Although it is very closely related, though.
So I'm close.
Yeah, you are very close.
Oh, no. Okay. Yes, we are going to have to put a freaking label on this episode. Yeah.
I like that he's backwards engineering the mythology, though. This is pretty interesting.
So what exactly is it?
It's a succubus.
Oh.
So okay. You were very close.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. What's the second one, Mongoose?
I look rich, but I only take. I sit in the dark, but with the light I do wake. I might hold your things if you keep me well fed, but if not, I'll make you cry tears of bright red.
Hmm. So these are probably all mythical creatures.
You could say that.
Okay, tell it to me again, real quick.
I look rich, but I only take. I sit in the dark, but with the light I do wake. I might hold your things if you keep me well fed, but if not, I'll make you cry tears of bright red.
Hmm. Bloody, well, no. I was about to say Bloody Mary. That's probably not correct.
No.
If you keep me well fed. Alamia?
No.
Damn it.
Nope. Sorry, the Sphinx would take your head, or I don't. Actually, what was the potential threat from the Sphinx? Just no treasure, I guess.
No treasure. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, it's a mimic.
Oh. Okay. Well. Yeah. Okay. I guess.
Yeah. All right. Third one. Go.
What has a bed but no pillows or sheets? What has two arms but no legs and no feet? What grows no sugar but has drinks that are sweet?
An e-girl's Coca-Cola bottle?
What? No! Oh! No!
Okay, hold on. What has no legs, no pillows or sheets?
What has two arms, but no legs and no feet?
Oh, no. Two arms, no legs, no feet.
Has a bed, but no pillows or sheets.
What grows no sugar, but has drinks that are sweet?
A flower girl?
Yeah, very yeah. good.
Oh, are you serious?
You got yes. it, yeah.
It's I a, got one!
Yeah, you get, you got one and a half. We'll give you half for the wet dream.
That's
not
okay.
bad. Yeah, not bad.
Got him. Got him.
Yeah, pretty good. So yeah, those are the riddles I came up with. Audience, you're free to use those in all of your Monster Girl related role-playing game quests.
Who are we getting? If they're you're listening to us, you're having a Monster Girl-themed role-playing game quest.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. You can have that for your original Advanced Dungeons & Dragons dungeon dive.
I mean, yeah, sounds good. I mean, if you're playing AD&D, you might as well have Monster Girls.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
A true science fact.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, how is your game going overall, though, Mongoose?
I'd say it's pretty good. We introduced a new player. He's doing pretty well.
Oh, nice. He's adapting to the corporate culture well?
Yes.
good. How are you doing with the resource management? I know we talked about that a little bit ago, about them having too much or not enough money.
I think it's going pretty well, largely because one of the limiting factors in Ryutama tends to be carrying capacity, and right now they just don't have the massive amount of carrying capacity necessary to go for a super long time without stocking up. So they do actually feel a little bit of pressure, especially
okay, cool.
when they're moving on more difficult terrain.
Nice. All right, anything else you wanted to talk about?
On that, maybe in a bit, but I think it would be better to ask you two what you were up to.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well, we had our first, well, more like our first and second foray into, and third? Do we have a third one?
Yeah, we've done three sessions now.
Three sessions, yeah.
The third of which you've still not told us our XP for.
Yes, well, that will be... Yeah. Don't worry about that one.
say it live on air, force everyone to listen to the podcast.
Actually, Jack does a cool thing where he individually gives XP based on like plot, furthering the plot and uncovering details about his the setting and the you know the events going on in it. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I'll have to consider doing that.
Well, and to back up a little bit, we've been playing Edge of Empire, the Star Wars RPG put out by. Fantasy Flight Games, and it's been pretty fun, honestly.
Yeah, it's a really cool system. I love the mechanics in there, the proprietary dice, the way that the dice interact with allowing you to narrate your actions in an interesting way, and it inspires teamwork because of the whole advantage and threat system. It's been pretty darn cool.
Yeah, and the fact that you can spend advantage and threat on various things mean that even if you roll terribly, even if you fail in your roll, you can still like say give somebody else like a leg up next, you know, like further along down the turn. It's a very interesting and nice system.
Yes, cool, nice, and good.
Yes,
as
all
they
those.
Say. Yeah,
all those. Yeah. So yeah, John, you wanna go through and tell everybody what has been happening in the
so
game.
So basically, we're playing murder hobos.
Oh yes. Wow! Yay! Everyone's favorite.
No,
my
we're
favorite
not actually,
buzzword.
We're not actually playing murder hobos, but Jack did accuse us of that.
That is unfortunate. I love buzzword. Get excited for next buzzword.
This is a terrible bit.
Oh, don't worry. You'll get excited. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, so we've had three sessions now, which have included wacky violent murder hijinks. it's been an interesting basically I'm playing a character that is very out of the norm for me, and that he's the kind of more gruff thug type character, very quick to resort to violence and in dangerous situations. And we've been going through some very dangerous situations dealing with criminals and, you know, the criminal underbelly and on various planets and space stations and whatnot. So I will say that Edge of the Empire has a very fun combat system. So it's not been like the Dungeons and Dragons, like everything slows to a crawl and it's boring as all get out. So at least it's been fun, at least for me. I've been enjoying the combat in it. But it's definitely also been more combat than I'm really used to. For instance, in Mongoose's games, we had very little combat, actually. In the game I ran, I think out of like 8 sessions, we only had 2 major combats, and then 1 like, you know, major social combat. But so this has been a new experience for me. I've been really enjoying it. But Jack, I wanted to talk about how after our third session, you were a bit of a loose cannon and you called us all murder hobos. And so I wanted to
you're really getting stuck on that murder hobo thing, aren't you?
Well, I wanted this to be our like
this
opportunity.
Is what John does. You say something, you get stuck on it.
Well, yeah, it makes good show content. I wanted this to be our on-air counseling session.
So just to give you a little bit of inside baseball, what I did was, for pretty much every character, I gave them a set of public objectives and a set of private objectives, right? Mm. So I don't even remember all of them, but basically our smuggler was originally hired to move some Durasteel or some common cargo, right, from one planet to another. Mm. But he was told secretly that the ship that he was going to be given had hidden storage that contained a whole bunch of spice, which is basically the cocaine or illicit drug of the universe, right?
Magic meth.
Yes.
Whoa. Slow down. Yes. I'm not up to date on my Star Wars. They just steal that from Dune.
Yeah.
Yes, they did.
Wholesale. Absolutely. Ripped it off. Absolutely.
Okay, just getting that out of the way. Okay, continue.
Isn't spice mined in Kessel, actually?
Yeah, it's actually mined.
Yeah, it's a different origin, but they call it spice. That's just the nickname.
But they mine spice in Dune.
Oh, they do? I thought it was like some worm pooped it out or something.
Well, they mine it because the worm makes it on the desert planet or whatever, I think.
Right, this is an actual like mineral. It's not worm poop.
Right. So, but the hidden or secret objectives were kind of structured around being antithesis to one another, right? Or at the very least, one is the antithesis to another to another hidden objective, right? So basically, Mr. Zero, who is the smuggler, was supposed to move this from point A to point B, right? Well, he was also supposed to hand it off to somebody who was a contract kill by one of the bounty hunters in the group,
right? And also the person who my character was supposed to protect,
right? Well, right, and that's another thing is that so basically. The idea behind it is that not all the NPCs have complete information given to them, and not all the players have complete information given to them. They're not exactly sure, what's going on. And the thing that you have to keep in mind, the thing you have to remember, is that this system has to be able to function even if all the players just sit around a table and say, okay, here are all my hidden objectives. What are your hidden objectives? Right.
Right. Which we haven't shared.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly. So the bounty hunter, I basically told the bounty hunter, you know, you can choose to achieve your objective or not achieve the objective or share it with the group or whatever. He chose to keep it hidden, and he chose to introduce himself to the party by
killing our buyer.
By killing the buyer, right? And it turns out that if you kill the buyer, you can't offload the spice to anyone on the planet.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. So what are they going to do?
Not to mention you've got my violent thug character who's supposed to protect this guy walks in to immediately see a character kill him, and his thought is, well, I guess I don't have to worry about protecting him anymore.
Well, right. But now you've got like 5 tons of super meth in the middle of a city with a bunch of federales.
Well, had. Past tense.
Yes, had.
Federales? Because... What? Federales.
You've never heard that term, federales?
He's mocking your pronunciation.
Yeah.
It's federales.
Okay.
Whatever.
Of all the petty mongoose posting.
Right?
Anyway, so yeah, the interesting thing was that after that all went down, I'm Bustard, and I think I want to look for valuables in the shop. So they break into the safe. Of course, there's like a, you know, there's a alarm or whatever you want to call it in there that's alerts the cops, you know, if someone's breaking into your safe. So they set that off. So we go outside, and our truck full of magic meth is outside. Cops show up, and they're like, hey. So we got an alert here. So obviously we need to talk to the owner of this shop who's dead inside. And we need to search your truck, which as far as we know, it is full of magical, super illegal magic meth. And so this begins a very brief attempt at talking them down, which then turns into a very violent snuggle session. And my character almost dies. We kill 5 cops who we thought were beat cops, by the way. Because Jack didn't describe them. So we thought these were like, you know, checking your parking ticket type cops. And apparently they were like wearing full riot gear power armor cops. So I almost died.
Power armor? No. There was no power armor. It was just regular beat cop armor.
Well,
you know, the armor that beat cops use.
Well, beat cops wear like, you know, blue polo shirts and black pants, you know, so that's not as armored as these guys were.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't have been fun if they were polo shirt wearing. But yeah, no, like that was the whole thing. And the other thing is that the group decided to leave their magic super illegal meth outside, like
in the truck. Without anybody overseeing, because we had guards that were given to
us. As you do, yep.
Well, we had guards that were assigned with us by the person we were working for, who wanted us to oversee this transaction. So we leave the guards there with the truck, and all of the player characters go inside. And I'm thinking, well, this is a bad idea, but my character would absolutely not, like, you know, suggest someone stay on guard, because he's not a leader. He's not thinking strategically. That should be like the smuggler does that or something, you know, like one of the other characters should think about that. Well, they didn't, and I'm fine with that. So we go inside, and apparently while we're inside messing around with our new character killing off our buyer, they're transferring the magical meth outside to some like getaway vehicle. So we go back outside, still think our vehicle's full of magic meth, kill the cops to avoid them finding it, open up the back of the door to find out that there was nothing to even kill the cops about anyway. And, so then we flee the area,
flee the scene,
as you do. Yeah. Gotcha.
With nothing, having pissed off the local cops, pissed off the Trade Federation, presumably because they set us up to be killed anyway. No buyer, no money, nothing. You know, my character, like I said, almost died. He was like 19 out of 20 wounds with a critical injury on top of that.
So the lizard, the buff lizard person, is like limping along, and everyone's frantically trying to get away from the scene of the crime.
But it was more violent. Like I said, it was more. So this is more violent than I'm used to for sure. Especially having come from a Shadowrun background. Shadowrun is a bit more lethal than Edge of Empire. Although, like I said, my character did get pretty darn close. Yeah. So it was after that that Jack dropped the MH word, and.
And you're still hung up on it.
No, I just, like I said, this makes for good content. I'm trying to do a show here, Jack. So I just wanted to talk, like, what are your feelings? What were your thoughts on that? What's going on in your head there, big guy?
What's going on, big guy? Your wife just smashed my 5 tons of space meth. What's going on there, big guy?
You just tripped your NPC right into my space meth, and now it's shattered all over your campaign. What's going on there, big guy?
Well, so the thing is that the way I do campaign outlines is there's almost always a way for you to avoid combat if you really want to avoid combat, right?
Oh, I was fine with not avoiding it.
Oh, I know okay. You were, and honestly, I was as well, which you know it turned you know that kind of turned out okay.
Yeah.
But the way you would have avoided it. If I remember correctly, is basically leaving somebody outside to make sure that the meth doesn't grow legs and run away. Mm-hmm. Go in, stop the bounty hunter from killing the person, or if you can't stop him because, you know, it's just the other player character, mm-hmm. you know, clean up, make sure that nobody nobody knew that it was you, basically.
Yeah. And so act like actual professionals and not like bumbling retards.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And perhaps try and figure out who he was going to sell the meth to. So maybe you can get some return on your investment.
Yeah.
You know, assuming that you still have the meth.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, that would have been something a bit more like That's all things that like an experienced shadow running team would have thought of and done, but that's not what we're playing. We're playing like, you know, lowlifes who basically wandered in off the streets and were roped into this greater plot. And it's like I said after the session, I am totally fine with being screwed over as long as it leads to a better story.
Yeah, and hopefully I'll be able to provide you that story in the next session.
Yeah, but you wanted to talk about players going off track from GM plans, right?
Yes, yeah. So the way I do outlines is that I get all of the main plot points together, and I also get all the main NPCs together, mm-hmm. and I try and outline exactly how they would react to the players if they did certain things, right?
Yeah.
So there are NPCs that you haven't met yet. There are NPCs that you have met yet, or have met. And I basically outlined all of their objectives, what they want to do, what they're willing to do to get to those objectives,
mm-hmm.
and what happens when they don't achieve those objectives, right? And generally speaking, I usually do like NPC objectives off screen, or they could even be handed out as quests to the player if you know it's
that. Well, it's all about having the setting being a moving living machine that operates around the PCs, which they can bump into and interact with in their actions.
So that's kind of the goal or the objective, is for the NPCs to kind of bounce the player characters to bounce around, you know, talk to different people, make alliances, you know, figure out what they, you know, who they want to support, because almost always I have NPCs that represent, like, you know, one interest, and another NPC that represents the exact opposite interest, right? Mm-hmm. So there's no way that you can, like, please both of them. You're going to have to pick a side, and you're probably going to have to kill somebody you don't want to kill.
Yeah. So I'm fine with killing everybody. Anyway.
Oh, it's almost like you're a murderer, but from place
and
to place.
And you don't have a home.
No, we have a home. It's a mobile home.
You live in a You live in a Durasteel box under the hyperspace lane.
It's a mobile
and
home.
You also murder people. Curious.
However, it's almost like
you're going to go torment some space teenagers out in the woods. The chainsaw.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Because
yeah,
it's probably. The Halloween episode.
Because we're spooky Star Wars characters.
Spooky.
Oh, this is such a bad episode already.
What are you talking about? We've done the Yoda bit twice.
Yeah,
vampires.
Exactly. Also implying that either of those are making it into the final MP3.
Oof. There might actually be a riot.
A spooky riot?
Riots are spooky civil unrest.
Yeah, okay,
the National Guard.
Water cannons.
Okay. Wait. I've got a good one. Los Angeles.
I don't want to get the plague, please. No,
roof Koreans.
Bubonic plague. All right, this is awful. What are we doing? All right.
I don't know.
So Jack, this doesn't sound so much like the players are going. Also, for the record, we are murder nomads, not murder hobos.
Murder nomads. Okay, I'll make sure to
One
write
man's
that down.
Nomad on is another man's hobo.
That's not. Oof. Hobos don't have a home. We just have a mobile home. Okay, we're murder gypsies.
Gypsies are worse.
Oh, dang it, you're right. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so I guess you are murder gypsies then.
No, we're murder nomads. I like... We're murder Mongolians? We're murder steppe peoples. There we go.
Ah, Turks. Even worse.
No, not the... All right, you know what? I'm done with this. Anyway, Jack, it doesn't sound like we're really going off... like, the topic you suggested was going off track from GM plans. But it doesn't really sound like we're going off track because your world is, you know, like I said, it's more like that machine. So what did you mean by this?
what did you mean by this?
Yeah.
Well, so that's the thing though, is that like I made notes and I assumed, and you see that this is another thing, is that maybe I shouldn't just assume that you would go down a certain path, but you know, like I'm having to accelerate some things and hold back other things, right? Mm-hmm. You technically did go off the beaten path, but what I'm trying to explain exactly how I handle that.
Yeah. Okay.
And if you do it this way, if you outline all of the major bumpers that your PCs could theoretically hit in the next session, and you do all of that work beforehand, then you're able to come up with something. So basically, if your PCs go off the beaten path, you kind of have an idea of what to do in the moment. You know, you don't have to make up stuff, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
Right. Well, if there's more to your world than just what's immediately in the screen at the moment, then they can bump around into other parts of that machine. And sure, you might have to take some time to tinker around and do maintenance on that machine in between sessions. You know, if they do some really weird stuff, you know, you have to adjust things and adjust the timing on belts or whatever, you know. I'm not a big machinist, so I'm not, you know, sorry, Miles. We'll have to get you back in here for that. But, I get what you're saying. You're talking more about improvisation then, and having the momentum, the plot or setting momentum there to enable you to do good improvisation in the moment.
I think that most good DMs are really good at improvisation. You know, because
I think the backbone of good DMing is improvisation, really.
Yeah. I absolutely agree. I mean, but I only say that because I've met DMs who are absolutely strict in the way that the player characters go through like any kind of dungeon. Right.
Gee, like almost like they're reading a block text from a module.
Right, exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
My God,
they will
that.
They will make their own modules and you know, go, you know, so the player characters don't really have a choice about where to go. And
yeah,
honestly, that's actually a more traditional way of doing it, because that's kind of sort of the way that the hobby was created. But
well, that's a war game. Like, it's not a,
yeah,
it's a, at that point it's just a, it's a, literally a war game scenario.
That's not even a war game, because a war game, like, it's a little bit more dynamic than that. It's an in-depth war game scenario, I guess you could say.
Yeah,
it's transitional, I would say, more so.
Here's
than
the T word.
Yeah, are you intentionally triggering my transitional phobia here?
It's an intermediary stage.
There you go. That's good. Okay. Yeah. No. It just sounds like they want to play a campaign scenario, and I mean,
they want to play a video game. Basically.
Yeah. It really is like a quest in some kind of MMO. And it's like, yeah, you have an option of like which order to do the quest bits in, but you got to do all the quest bits in order to go on to the next quest.
So yeah, I mean, like the outline informs the improvisation that the DM does, but ultimately it's up to the DM whether or not to mm-hmm. you know, to do that. And of course tropes help you. You know,
oh, yeah.
like what would make sense in the setting and all that.
Yeah.
You know. So yeah. That's what I meant by that.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, I think you're doing a pretty good job so far. Like I said, I don't mind the whole, like, you know, things didn't go according to plan, because that can very well lead to better stories in the long run anyway. So that's fine with me.
Oh yeah, and honestly, like, I don't think I've ever DM'd a game and that went exactly according to plan.
Yeah.
I don't think I've DM'd a session that has gone exactly according to plan.
I have before, and that's because sometimes I've had sessions that I planned kind of loosely, and I also planned them to really, really, really play on things I knew my players were likely going to do, and I gambled correctly. Or this actually happens to me more often than not, but this is kind of what happens when you have a play group you're really used to, and so you'll oftentimes find yourself playing to tropes that you know your players are going to like or enjoy, and so you find yourself more able and more effectively able to anticipate what they're going to do with any given input or stimulus.
Right. Yeah, if you know both the players and their characters and the motivation of the characters, you can pretty effectively design hooks that will get them drawn in without it. You know, you can present other options that seem like viable alternatives, but you know that they're probably not going to go for anyway.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or oftentimes you can just bait them into doing exactly what you want them to do.
Yeah.
That's...
Hey, look, there's a shiny diamond.
Yes. You can, or you could just do the traditional, like, I have thing planned, but not where thing is going to be. So you have an option to go to these three places. Oh, you chose that one? Well, the thing happens there. Like, that's always an option. You don't want to overuse that too much, but it's always an option. Mm-hmm. These are all tools in the toolbox, as it were.
Yes.
I like going cold COD a lot of times. That's fun.
What? Do what?
I've gone cold COD more times than I would... Or not cold COD, but just like... I've gone by the seat of my pants more times than I would care to admit.
Yeah, it
is. What is cold COD? Hold on, what is cold COD?
Cold COD is when you quit something immediately. I misused it.
That's cold turkey.
Cold turkey, whatever.
What is cold COD?
Is
this from the BDSM list? What are we talking here?
It's a saying back in the Romania. Yeah.
I'm Googling it, and it's just cold cod salad recipes.
I think I invented this in my brain. I don't.
he was probably thinking of cold turkey, but recently had a cold cod.
But
salad.
Cold turkey isn't even relevant. So why?
I am back on my bullshit.
Okay.
No, but I get what you mean though. Like you don't have anything prepared for the evening, and you have to.
Didn't prepare something because you like doing things on the fly.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's a fun one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, let's see. How much preparation did you do? Actually, Mongoose, you prepared quite a bit for your games, it seems like.
For Ryutama, yes. When I'm traditionally running something, I actually prepare for it a little bit less. More of what I do in preparation is largely just setting up characters and character motivations beforehand. So I'll set up, what I'll do is I'll sort of set up a internal game system, as it were, like the sort of actors and what's going on and all this, that, and the other, and then everything in it will just sort of live and breathe and react accordingly. Which means A, I have to do less prep, and B, I'll oftentimes find myself just going like, yeah, I don't need to do prep on this, I can just do this, that, or the other, and then rely on my improv and the sort of expansive natures of my settings to carry anything I have to
Yeah.
come up with on the fly.
I mean that's exactly what Jack was just talking about for his setting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, cool. All right, sounds good. Yeah, I guess then we're all in agreement, so we don't have anything to disagree about on air. That's a shame.
Yeah, I mean, it is helping that lately I am playing, I hate to bring up Ryutama all the time, but it is kind of what I'm playing, so, obviously you're going to talk about what you're doing. That game does require a lot more prep out of you, just sort of in its baseline rules. I do ignore a lot of them, even though I told my players I was going to be playing it rote, because if I had, I would not have time to prepare on that. Like, I
Yeah.
mean, I work close to 70 hours a week now, doing stuff. So I don't have time necessarily all the time to go and do a ton of prep or sit around and do RPG stuff as much as I would like. So I find myself oftentimes just sort of slapshotting things and then just kind of running in with them as I go, which is a
Slap shotting?
slapshod.
Yeah, like hockey. Slapshotting.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, that's actually British slang. Nice. Like hard, fast, or wild shot executed.
Did you
Wait,
Google that?
what? Yeah, I'm wondering where Mongoose gets all these terms from. I've never heard most of them. I've got like Google's like Mongoose to normal translation
Mongoose to
open.
normal.
A
Yoda bit.
slapshot is an ice hockey maneuver. What how have you heard about this?
You
You
realize
don't
I'm from Michigan, right? Now let me just go on a
Oh,
big
okay.
long
Michigan Post.
although I actually meant to say slap shod, not slap shot.
Oh.
Oh,
I don't
really? What's
think.
a slap shot?
Oh, wait,
Slap
actually,
shod is.
slapshod, an alternate. It's carelessly done or arranged.
Yes, that's
Yeah.
what I was talking about, not slap shot.
Okay. Like shoddy.
Yeah,
Right.
exactly.
Well, I was
Yeah.
thinking roughshod.
Rough
Oh,
shod
roughshod.
works as well, same thing. But
Slapdash is also another.
I don't even know if this is good content.
This is
I
awful
don't this
content,
is
but
awful
I'm
con
leaving.
I'm going to go back to talking
Okay,
about session prep. So like I
right.
don't have a lot of time to do stuff, so I just kind of wing it, or I go slap shod or slap shod or rough shod or whatever.
Slapdash.
Slapdash. Yeah. Often, and that more works for me more often than not because I have a decent enough sort of improv skills, and I tend to world build a lot in my spare time, like in the shower when I'm doing thinking and things, so I can rely on a lot of that stuff. And really, I would recommend that if you're gonna go do game mastering, getting really into your setting and really into your world and really into the NPCs you've built helps. Because it helps you sort of be reactive with them, right? In that when things come up, you aren't sort of puzzling about them a while. You don't have to think about it. Another tactic I like to frequently use is I'll let the I'll if there's role play going on between characters in character, I'll just let it happen for a long while I can collect my thoughts and sort of plot a little bit more in detail in the spur of the moment while I have time while players are role playing. Because
Yeah.
well, I do know that, and everyone should obviously know this, that if you let players just sort of sit there and talk, they'll sit in committee making plans forever. Like one of my favorite tactics is, you guys go come up with a plan. I'm gonna go get a drink or go to the restroom because it always works. Because it, I'll come back and they won't be finished yet because they'll just keep going in circles.
See, I built
I
my
gotta make sure to
current
use that.
I built my current character in Jack's campaign to specifically make that impossible because my guy's like, "You've been talking too long. I'm gonna go do the thing."
Yeah, that's not a high quality post. That's my favorite. Yeah, I mean, you had to have noticed how many times I used that.
Well, yeah, sure, and that's fine some of the time, not all the time. You don't want it to be...
Oh, no, it's not something I rely on regularly, but...
Well, right, and so it's like I designed my character specifically with the... He's got patience to a point. So he's fine with, like, discussing things, coming to the plans, but if it's clear everyone else is just, like, spinning their tires, he's like, all right, well, let's go put into practice what we came up with. See how it turns out.
So he's going to get himself killed is what you're telling me.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully. I want a character to die, dang it. My character in Mongoose's game never died.
Yeah, but I didn't really have it in my heart to kill your character in my game.
Well, okay.
That would have been very tragic and sad. Depressing.
Right.
I don't think anybody needed that at the time.
Well, yeah. I mean, it would have made for a good story of a certain kind, but it also just didn't really fit the tone.
No, not at all. I mean, it was sort of devolving or evolving into slowly. It was becoming...
Yes.
I think I described it to my buddy as I said it was... the best way to put it would be... Toradora with guns.
Yeah. But, I mean, there is something to be said. We've talked about character death on here before and how, you know, I'm fine with character death. And, you know, like I said, if it's a heroic death or something along those lines, then it could be even cooler than your character surviving. I'm not of the school that's like, I want my guy to win and be the best. And he has to get all the things that he wants out of life. You know, like as I've always said, as long as the story is interesting, then it's a success. And if your character getting himself killed because he's not able to adapt, you know, or fit the situation or just whatever, and the other characters then learn from that, and I can get back into the game with a new character, you know, and have fun doing it, great. We've made a good story that way.
Yep. Sometimes tragedies are fun to tell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes tragedies are fun to act out, too.
Yep. So... Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I'm really liking Edge of the Empire, and I also really like the character dynamics in your game. Like the inter-party relations there is very funny. It's very fun.
Yeah, honestly, that's some of the NPCs thus far have actually been improvs. Like Mooship, I didn't plan Mooship.
That was a good one though. That was so good.
That was totally and completely.
Mongoose, you would have been proud. He had a gang leader, like a criminal organization leader, who's just a giant cow dude who's like trying to be intimidating, but it was like talking with a... Jack was doing a voice where he's like half mooing while he talks. So good.
It's totally not in... I don't think there's any... cow person in Star Wars.
Either. No, this is like some weird one-off creature that you encounter.
They have glands, which are like kind of like that, I guess, but not really.
I haven't even heard. What is it? Gran?
They're like Graan, I think.
Oh no, that's not that's not even remotely.
I know they're herbivores and they eat grass.
He was just straight up like playing a Tauren, however you pronounce it, from World of Warcraft in Star Wars.
I was basically trying to moo, but I was also trying to talk.
Yeah, it was so funny.
So every time I say a word with an M in it, I just trip over it and accidentally moo.
Yeah. Yep.
Did somebody say you should be playing a Holstar? Because that's what you should be doing.
Holstar.
Well, Holstar. This is a game with a bunch of normies, so we gotta dial back on the Monster Girl posting.
Yeah, you gotta get that white tequila.
That is when you get on your bullshit the strongest, my man.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
This is very unprincipled.
Look, it made for good content. It was great. I don't know what you're complaining about, Jack.
I mean, it was good in-game content, but it's not as principled as it could be. No. You need
all right,
more,
Jack. We gotta introduce cat girls to Star Wars.
Cat girls, Star Wars. That sounds great. Yeah.
I'm going to make one of I'm going to make that my my priority.
Oh yes, this is your homework. We'll report back on how this went.
And this is everyone's homework. Introduce catgirls to your role playing game. See what happens.
Yes.
Or snake girls, or cowgirls, yeah, or something.
Any kind of Evolian monster girl.
Yes.
Exactly. Exactly.
And we would like to hear stories.
Tell us about how.
Tell
monster
us your best Evolian monster girl role playing game story in the comments below, please.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Sounds good. All right.
And this is how we're going to sort out the Hindi spam comments from the actual ones this time around.
Bob's Vagine.
Wait, the Hindi's just going to talk about their sacred cows and we'll think they're talking about whole stars.
No, they always come on the blog and they're very clearly trying to start some scam because they're like, "Oh, it's my Flames of War review articles," and they'll be like, "Oh, I see you are a man of good character. You'll find that many other people look for this information. I appreciate greatly." I'm like, or and then the same guy will come back and comment, "Article was very short. It did not have enough it did not have enough content and very long article. Please look at blog for more advice on how to build better articles." I click on his blog. It's just in Hindi.
Well, first of all, never click on a link that's given to you by
an
Indian.
Well, no, it was a WordPress account with a WordPress blog associated with it, so it was, like, safe,
okay,
right? Like, I'm not going to click on, like, the Nigerian scammer link, obviously.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's clicking on the Indian scammer.
I like how your Indian accent, like, slowly changes towards Russian Chinese as it went along.
That's what Indians are, Russian Chinese.
Oh, what? Wow. Okay. All right.
He's not wrong.
You
heard it here first, folks. Indians are just Russian Chinese.
Look, you click blog. We get Slurpee Mix. It's good. T-Series. Beat PewDiePie. Your blog posts not have enough content. I appreciate that you put this information out there. Many people look for this information. I had to delete. All right,
now we gotta do like Indian Yoda. That's the next. We'll work on that.
We'll scientifically develop this in the Little Wars lab. Okay, and we'll come back to you guys with yes. Little Wars Yoda. Although I think that now that we're talking about Indian,
show feet you must. Sorry.
Yeah, now that we're talking about Indian Yoda, I think it's about time to call it a day.
Yes.
All right. Fair enough.
This has been a fun episode and a great time. I'm Mongoose Kikimura as always, and you know, this is Jack, John. If you want to contact us, we can find our contact information in the bottom of this. Please do take a look at our blog and website, littlewars.home.blog. And you can find Jack on Twitter at Jack Carinette, no spaces, no underscores, spelled the way it sounds. And
Two Ks, not three.
Yes, we hope to hear your great and wonderful Monster Girl stories in the comments. We'll see you guys later. See ya.
See ya.
See ya.
There's a classic. Haven't heard that in a while.
Thank you for tuning in to the latest episode of Little Wars. For more traditional gaming autism, head over to littlewars.home.blog. That's Little Wars, all together, no spaces, .home.blog. Have a great week, and many epic gamer moments. We'll be right back.
Jesus.